Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Emily and I love this campus, passionately love this campus. And my husband Dan and I are part of it. We run an incredible Young Adults Connect group who we also love very dearly. And our kids, Archer and Ruby, have been growing up in the kids ministry there. This is their second home. They love it. And it's so cool to be able to be part of such an incredible community. And how crazy is it that it's already like nearly mid-December? Isn't that wild? I don't know about you, but I absolutely love this time of year. You know, I love the warmer weather, although it's been a little bit slow in coming, but I do love it. I love the sense of family and community that starts to build. I love the twinkling Christmas lights that adorn the streets. And I love how our focus shifts to others and how we can bless them. But most of all, I love that across the earth, we take a moment to celebrate the birth of Jesus. You know, in kids ministry, we've just started a new series called Seek and Save. And I think for the most part, our kids know, you know, Christmas time was when Jesus was born. It's Jesus's birthday. But what we're wanting to do is we're actually wanting to take them a little bit deeper. You know, Jesus was born, correct, but why? Why did Jesus come? He came, as it says in the book of Luke, to seek and save the lost. And I'm believing that this Christmas, we would surpass that surface level understanding and actually go a little bit deeper and acknowledge the significance of the gift of Jesus. That he didn't just come to bless the shepherds and the wise men or those around in Bible times, but he came still today to seek and save the lost. That a broken and hurting world would know hope through him. That mission was relevant back then, but it remains very, very relevant today. He didn't just come for humanity generally. He came for you today. He came for your friends. He came for your family. And I think sometimes, as Christians, we can become overly familiar with this message, can't we? My mother-in-law has this flashing badge she wears all Christmas season that says, Jesus is the reason for the season, which is beautiful. And, you know, we have these nativity scenes and they're gorgeous. But if we don't really understand the significance, it's all a bit of lip service, isn't it? The reality is many of us take little time over Christmas to reflect on the why. Why was Jesus sent? Why is this the most important, most significant gift to mankind? We can diminish the significance of the gift of Jesus, almost treating it as common or expected. But this gift, this beautiful gift, should actually move us to a response. Today, I would love to take a look at a passage of Scripture where we see someone respond to the gift of Jesus. If you've got your Bibles there, we're going to turn to John chapter 1 and we're going to read from verse 43. I'll just have a quick drink. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." In this passage of Scripture, we see Philip encounter Jesus, and immediately he was moved to a response. Not only did Philip decide to follow Jesus, but understanding the significance of who Jesus was, he immediately went and called his friend Nathanael to come and see too. I wonder who here today feels a little bit challenged by Philip's response. I know I do. You see, Philip could have very simply decided to meet Jesus and follow him. and contained his response to simply that, impacting himself, couldn't he? He never would have had to go out of his way and go and get Nathaniel. He definitely wouldn't have had to encounter his friend's disbelief. He just could have got on with following Jesus. It's perfectly reasonable and expected that his response to Jesus would simply be to follow him and let that be that. Isn't that often what we do too? You know, our response to Jesus can solely focus on me, myself, and I. Perhaps we begin our personal relationship with Jesus. We make some good friends in church. We get invested. We get comfortable. And then that's potentially where it stops. Or maybe on the other hand, we start our relationship with Jesus with this passion and fervor to tell the world about who he is. But over time, that excitement and enthusiasm fades and our response becomes smaller and milder as the years go on. Our comfort in our bubble and our apathy towards the world outside can mean that our response to the life-changing work of Jesus rarely extends beyond these four walls. Now, don't get me wrong. Connect group is awesome. If you're not in one, you should get in one for the start of the new year. Serving in the house is incredible and you will grow by joining a team. You know, even pursuing Jesus for yourself, that is a noble and wise thing to do. They're all good things. There's nothing bad about what you do in these four walls, but we know we are also called to be about others. In fact, here at Nations Church, that's one of our culture statements. We are about others. Just like Philip's response to Jesus went beyond himself, we are called to respond to Jesus in a way that shares his goodness and wonder with the world around us. The title of my message today is What's Your Response? You see, when we come into relationship with Jesus, we actually have something to share. Yeah. We have his very light and presence living on the inside of us. Knowing Jesus sets us apart, but it doesn't set us apart so that we can hide from and withdraw from the world around us. It actually sets us apart so that we can be in a position to share his goodness with those we interact with. You know, the book of Matthew puts it like this. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Our response to Jesus should be to shine his light. Who here is a mum of a girl? Any mums of girls? Who here has met a little girl? Most of you, yes? Okay. Well, little girls, generally speaking, love princess outfits. And you know, time and time again, my own little girl included, I see them around in various places with these ridiculous, beautiful tulle gowns. You know, they're at Woolworths in their Belle dress. They're at the beach in their Anna dress. They're at Bunnings in their Cinderella dress. They will go everywhere wearing these gorgeous dresses, right? And they love it. They love it. And time again, these beautiful princess dresses, they get the attention of passers-by. You know, without fail, people exclaim, "Oh my, don't you look beautiful? What a lovely dress. I didn't know princesses went to Woolworths." And these little girls, they know their dress is gorgeous. They know it's worthy of wearing any opportunity they get. And they love to wear it proudly anywhere and everywhere they go, despite their parents maybe wanting to steal it and wash it every now and then. Amen? Does it stand out when they wear this dress? Yes. Does it draw attention? Absolutely. Do they wear it anyway? Of course. And you know, the light of Jesus we have received upon our salvation is even more beautiful, even more stunning, even more breathtaking than the most fantastic princess dress. People are attracted to it, and it stands out in a world full of darkness and despair. Just as the princess gown looked out of place at Woolworths or Bunnings, the light of Jesus can appear out of place in a world because it is a kingdom garment in an earthly location. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't wear it boldly. Amen? How are you wearing Jesus in your world today? You see, Matthew 5 tells us explicitly not to hide our light, not to dim it down. It shares how ridiculous it would be to turn on a light and put it under a bowl. But the reality is, that's exactly what many of us do, isn't it? Maybe we wear our princess gowns boldly to church on a Sunday, but we don't dare shine in Woolworths on Monday or at school pickup on Tuesday afternoon. Perhaps we're more comfortable camouflaging than shining. But our response to the gift of Jesus should be to shine his light, to be his hands and his feet, to speak hope into hopeless situations, to wear love in the midst of animosity, to shine so that others may know him. You know, I love the boldness of little kids, the way they wear those gowns, so unconcerned of what the norm is or what other people might think. Unfortunately, as we become adults, the fear of man can often beat that boldness out of us. We can become so consumed with what others may or may not think of us, and we make decisions based more on perceived opinions of man rather than our convictions with God. We slip into people-pleasing and following the status quo. And many of us, you know, we call that adulthood. It's just being a grown-up. It's just what happens. But it was not the way God called us to live our lives. You know, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, I love this verse and I live by it. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And so if you are living your life dictated by the fear of man, that fear has got to go. Amen? You were called to respond to Jesus by shining his light. And that often looks like standing up and standing out. You were called to overcome fear in order to live a life as a disciple, not just privately loving Jesus, but following him wholeheartedly and sharing him with others. To be completely honest with you, this is something I personally don't find easy or natural. Perhaps you can relate. My personal preference would be to lay low, not to draw attention and just keep on keeping on. But I've come to realize that shining the light of Jesus really has nothing to do with me or my personal preference. It is a response of obedience and a response that actually, as we step out, it grows our heart and our capacity to love others in our world. If you're like me, you might be afraid that shining Jesus' light or inviting others to come and see like Philip did may make you look like a hypocrite. Let's be real here. For me, even standing here sharing this message with you has been challenging because I know I am not a perfect disciple. I often lean into fear. I regularly mess up and fall short. I am incredibly human. And I'm guessing many of you here today are pretty human as well. Remember, most of us are like the rest of us. I'm here to encourage you though. Jesus isn't waiting to move through perfect people. Imperfect people are called to respond to him as well. As we read stories in the Bible, we see more often than not, God actually chooses significantly imperfect people as vessels of the good news. Even the man who is credited with writing most of the New Testament, he was a former Christian persecutor. Like, he was a pretty average person. But God used him mightily as he obediently stepped out and chose to shine the light of Jesus. Same with Peter. He publicly denied Jesus 3 times, yet he was the rock on which the church was built. God uses imperfect people. We just need to choose to respond, step out, shine his light. We need to be less concerned with us and more concerned with making space and taking steps to reflect Jesus, however shaky those steps might be. Looking back to our first passage of scripture, we can see Philip chose to shine Jesus' light to share what he had just experienced with his friend. And Philip's response, it actually wasn't determined by the attitude of Nathanael either. We see Nathanael's first reply to Philip was actually full of doubt, perhaps even a little judgment and disbelief. he said, what good could come from Nazareth? But what's interesting is Philip's response. Instead of arguing against Nathanael's prejudice, Philip simply invited him to come and see. Come and meet Jesus for himself. I believe the modern day church has largely excused themselves from sharing Jesus because we're afraid of people's responses. Potentially, we're concerned that we don't have all the answers to all the theological questions, or that our faith isn't strong enough, or that our words aren't eloquent enough. But when I look at the example of Philip, I don't see much eloquence. I don't see a well-formed argument. I simply see someone who has met Jesus and gone, I want to show my friend. He needs to come and see. I simply see Philip extending an invitation, and Jesus then takes over. He meets Nathanael exactly where he's at. How many Nathanaels are there in our world waiting for a simple invitation? To come and know Jesus' goodness, to come and receive his salvation, to come and be filled with hope. And how many of us are too caught up in our comfort or in our fear or maybe even our apathy to step out and make our response to Jesus be about others? You know I was a Nathanael once. Potentially many of you were too. I still distinctly remember the time my friends invited me to come and meet their Jesus. Their youth ministry was having this outreach night, June 10, bring a friend. And my friend Alex, a few months earlier, had just given her heart to Jesus, and she was full of faith and on fire, and she invited me to come and see. And now, to be honest, I thought the whole Pentecostal Christianity thing was pretty weird. Like, I was like, oh, I don't know if that's for me. I'm a bit clever, you know, I'm a books kind of girl, and this looks very wild and woolly. But there was a boy there who I was interested in, so I thought, I'll go along. And hey, Jesus will use whatever, amen? And I even remember being on the bus to school that day. I was 16 years old and saying to my friends, yeah, I'm going to go, but I'm not getting saved. Like, I'm not jumping into this thing. I'm just going to go and have a look. Alex invited me, but Jesus, he truly did the rest. You see, I walked into this youth group and I stood in this praise and worship and I felt the very real and very tangible presence of God. And then what happened was I listened to a message about how Jesus loved me, not for anything that I have done or could do for him, but just because he created me and he desperately wanted relationship. And at the end of that night, I put up my hand and I gave my heart to Jesus. You see, Alex invited me. She made her response to Jesus be about others, and because of her obedience, I now know salvation. I now know Jesus. I am now living in the fullness of what he has for me because my friend responded. Amen. We can never underestimate the power of an encounter with Jesus, but often that encounter comes as a result of an invitation. As a result of a response that desires to be about others, not just to keep Jesus to ourselves, but to share his goodness with those around us. When we look at the story of Philip and Nathanael, we can see that Philip's invitation was a catalyst for Nathanael to enter the reality of who Jesus was. Jesus told Nathanael things that only he could have known. And not only that, he actually promised to show him more than that, more wonders than he could even imagine. As a result of Philip's invitation, Nathanael was present when Jesus turned water into wine. As a result of Philip's invitation, Nathanael actually witnessed Jesus' resurrection. As a result of Philip's invitation, Nathanael was in the upper room when the Holy Spirit was poured out. As a result of Philip's invitation, Nathanael actually got the very power and presence of God living inside of him. Because Philip's response to Jesus was to be about others, Nathanael encountered the power of God. You know, when we accept Jesus into our hearts, we also get the gift of his presence living on the inside of us. This means the very same presence we experienced in worship this morning actually goes with us wherever we go. We have access to it day in and day out. The same presence that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is a presence that we can call upon in any moment, a presence that we can shine and share with the world around us as our response to Jesus. Recently, I heard some incredible men from our Myrie campus share different ways God had used them in the workplace. And two things really struck me from their testimonies. The first thing was their obedience. You see, long ago, these men had decided to lay aside their personal preference for comfort in order to serve God wholeheartedly wherever He placed them. But the second thing was once they had actually chosen that obedience, some incredible demonstrations of God's power followed. I'm talking healings. I'm talking words of knowledge. I'm talking miraculous, unexplainable provision. All on the back of a choice to make their response to Jesus about others. All on the back of a response that lays down comfort, that lays down fear, that lays down personal preference to shine Jesus' light. In the book of Acts, we see many incredible demonstrations of God's power, often leading to many people experiencing freedom and encountering God for themselves. Let's have a look at how this plays out in Acts chapter 3. Reading from verse 3, it says, "One day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put out every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. You see, we see Peter and John encounter a man who was paralyzed from birth. And this was long before any type of disability support, any type of means that could make him have an ordinary life. He was completely and wholly reliant upon the charity of strangers. That begging was his lifeline. However, when this man asked Peter and John for money, he didn't actually know what he was going to receive. Because they responded, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." You see, Peter and John didn't just have the means to meet this man's need temporarily. They knew there was a power in them to see this man healed and whole permanently. Their response to Jesus and the man's needs was to demonstrate the power of God. Our response to Jesus should be to demonstrate his power too. As Christians, how often are we searching for silver and gold, common sense solutions, practical answers to problems, but in doing so, we actually fail to recognize the very power that has already been bestowed upon us? Don't get me wrong, meeting somebody's practical needs is very important. You know, our food pantry ministry is a beautiful example of this. Practical needs met, fueled by the love of Jesus. But I know that the team actually doesn't just meet those practical needs. They don't shy away from the power of God. They actually pray fervently over every single hamper that goes out. And if a family comes in and shares something going on, I know their first response is to actually go, "Can we pray with you? Can we stand with you and believe for a breakthrough?" You know, there's one really cool example. One week, they were talking after all the food had come in and they were believing for more eggs the next week. They're like, "Our families need eggs." And so what did they do? They prayed. And what happened, Laura? We got eggs. So many eggs the next week. And I just remember being like, "What? That's insane. insane, but it's not insane because the power of God has the ability to do more than we could ask, think, or imagine. We just need to make our response to call upon it and believe, and God does the rest. There is a power that lives in each and every believer to see breakthrough in the world around us. Each of us are carriers of the presence of God, vessels of His Spirit. But so often we leave this as our last resort rather than our first response. The man at the beautiful gate was expecting money, but the gift Peter and John gave him was far, far greater. Peter and John knew who they represented. They knew the power that had been gifted to them, and they weren't shy about sharing this with the broken world around them. Their response to Jesus was to demonstrate His power. Each of you here today, if you're a believer, you represent the same God Peter and John represent. Each of you had the same miracle working power gifted to you. But my question today is, what's your response? Is your response to Jesus to boldly carry His power and share it with the world around you like Peter and John? Or does fear, control, and even apathy have you turning to silver and gold each time? Perhaps you feel totally overwhelmed at the need around you and are frozen in this state of overwhelm and uncertainty. How could you even make a difference? But the same Spirit that lived in Peter and John lives in you. It's available to you. The fruit of Peter and John ministering with the power of the Holy Spirit in that instance was significant. A lame man was healed, his life completely altered. But not only that, those around, those who witnessed this miracle, were filled with wonder, awe, and amazement. And I believe many of them would have given their hearts to Jesus that very day. As a result of Peter and John choosing to share what they had, the miracle working of power of God, many, many people experienced the reality of Jesus. Our response to Jesus should be to boldly carry and demonstrate His power. Perhaps for you, that looks like praying with someone in your workplace who has a difficult diagnosis. Perhaps it looks like partnering with a friend to believe for a financial miracle. Or maybe it's as simple as offering prayer for your friend's headache before reaching for the Panadol. This is something my own kids convict me of a lot. You know, I'm like, oh, Mum's got a headache. Where's the Nurofen? Where's the Panadol? Can we pray for you, Mum? Like, oh, yeah. Like, the same power that rose Christ from the dead lives in every believer. Let's pray that that headache's gone. Amen? Living emboldened and full of the Holy Spirit brings such great glory to God. When we choose to live our lives as vessels of His presence, trusting Him to move, operating in faith, the world around sees God's power at work. Jesus was given to each and every one of us as a gift that was free and without prerequisite, a gift that brings hope, freedom, and salvation to all who accept it. What is your response?
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.